Earlier in the week, on Monday, during the relatively brief Sicha, I mentioned the Gemara Megillah on Daf Lamed Aleph Mabez that discusses the Kriya of the Tochacha. And there, the Mishnah tells us in Megillah that Ein Mafsikin Beklolos, that one is not allowed to go in to have extra Hosafos when it comes to the Kriya of the Tochacha itself. And the question is, why exactly is that true? So we began discussing what exactly is the special character of the Kriya Satorah of the Shabbos. Why is it that we name the Toch at this particular time? So the Gemara tells us, and that's Sugya Megillah Lamed Aleph, that this was a separate takanas Ezra, that Ezra tikkun lehemli Yisrael, sheyukorin brachos uklolo shebetoras konim kodem atzeres, a takanas Ezra to lay the tochacha found in Vayikra before Shavuos, and the tochacha of Mishneh Torah, here of Parshas Kisavo, kodem Rosh Hashanah. And the reason for doing so is because, after all, that tichla shana u kiloseha, tachil shana, that the year should come to an end with its kolos, and the ensuing year should be one of bracha. And the Gemara comments that even Shavuos is considered to be a form of Rosh Hashanah as well, after all, because ba'atzeres, the world is judged al peros ha'ilon, so it's considered to be a form of Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Hadin, and therefore it's appropriate to lay in the tochacha at that particular time. So one has to realize that this Shabbos is a special Kriya Satorah, a special Takanas Ezra to lay in the brachos and klalos before Rosh Hashanah. Tosus points out on that daf in Megillah and daf Lamed Aleph and Mabez that is why, when necessary, we combine very long parshios and divide very short parshios. Tosus is bothered, shalo v'beis midrasho shor Rabbi Nisim, that why is it that if neither Rosh Hashanah nor Yom Kippur should fall out on Shabbos? That means that you have two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. So you have an extra Kriya Satorah. So you have to divide. Which partial should you combine? Which partial should you divide? So you know our practice, that during the summer, Matos and Masay are combined. They have a huge Kriya Satorah, and all of a sudden, Nitzavim and Vayilech are named separately. So Tosa just has the Havias Kasha. Why not combine the brief partials and divide the long parshios? Why is it that we divide Nitzavim Vayelech? So Tosus writes the following Kiddush, that this Takanas Ezra of Brachos and Klalos begins in Kisavo, but Parshas Nitzavim also contains the theme of Brachos and Klalos, and therefore it's essential to lay in Kisavo and Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. That's the Kiddush that Tosus writes. If you were to divide Matos and Maseh, and combine Nitzavim Vayelech, that would mean Nitzavim Vayelech is combined, but you're going to lay that on Shabbos Shuvah. And here there's a Takanas Ezra, that you have to have the totality of the brachos and klalos before Rosh Hashanah. So realize, Tosa says, that's why we do something that appears to be somewhat unusual, a combination of lengthy parshios, a division of the shortest parshios, because after all of this is considered to be part of a Takanas Ezra. So that's something that's critically important. Realize this Shabbos, that the Kriya Satorah that you're hearing of the Tochacha is a separate Takanas Ezra, not merely the Kriya of Parshas HaShavua. You'll turn to the people in Shul and tell them, this is a special Kriya Satorah. They'll look at you as, what's so special about this Kriya Satorah? This is Parshas HaShavua, Parshas Kisavu. You say, what do you mean? This is a Gemara Mufureshes, and Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph. This was a separate Takanas Ezra. And perhaps this is also relevant to resolve the kasha that the Taz raises. We mentioned that the Mishnah tells us that Ein Mafsikin Bekolos, a Mishnah Adav Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, Meseches Megillah. If you look at the Mishnah, it's a little bit unclear when you're allowed to have Hosafos and when you're not allowed to have Hosafos. No. It's clear from the Mishnah that sometimes Mutter, sometimes Aser. So on Chol, right, you can't have Hosafos. On Rosh Chodesh, you can't have Hosafos. Right. Chol HaMoed, you can't have Hosafos. What about on Yantif? Not so clear. On Shabbos, Mikra Hadin, the Mishnah says you can have Hosafos. So when you look at that Mishnah, it's a little bit unclear, like when yes, when no, sometimes yes, sometimes no. why is it that we should not have Hosafos in Kriyas HaTorah? So Rashi comments, it's because of Bitul Malacha. People have to go to work. We recognize that need. And why prolong unnecessarily the Kriyas HaTorah? So Rashi writes that only when there's a Heter Malacha is there an Isra of Hosafos. That's Rashi Shita. So therefore, right, on Chol, you can't have Osafos. On Rosh Chodesh, you can't have Osafos. On Chol HaMoed, Malach also is a concern. There's a Heter of Davar HaAveh. You can't have Osafos. But Rashi Shita is that on Shabbos as well as Yantif, you're allowed to have Osafos. If you look at the Ran here in Megillah, the Ran writes beautiful lamdos that the number of aliyahs that you have in a given day is supposed to reflect its status. And therefore, the starting point is you have to have a minimum of 3. In order to demonstrate that this day is invested with a higher quality, this is Chol HaMoed, this is Rosh Chodesh, we demonstrate that by an additional aliyah. In order to demonstrate a heightened Kedusha Siyam above and beyond Chol HaMoed, Yantiv, we have a further aliyah. In order to demonstrate this has a higher Kedusha Siyam even than Yantiv, Yom Kippur, an additional aliyah. And Shabbos is the highest level of Kedusha Sayom. Shabbos is Kfiyah V'Kaima, it's fixed and set. This Isra Malach on Shabbos is an Isra of Skila, that's not true even on Yom Kippur. On Yom Tov it's Alav, on Yom Kippur it's Karis, and Shabbos it's Skila. The highest level of Kedusha Sayom. The Ran adds that by having a Hosafa, you are infringing on a higher Kedusha Sayom. You have a Hosafa on Chol HaMoed, it's like you're treating it as Yom Tov. You have a Hosafa on Yom Tov, it's like you're treating it as Yom Kippur. And therefore, you're not allowed to have Hosafos. You can't encroach, you can't infringe, with the exception of Shabbos. Shabbos is the highest level of Kedusha Sayom. Once you max out, so now you can go ahead and have extra aliyahs. So the Ran writes, that's why we don't have Hosafos. Anyantif, Machlokes, Rashi that writes Mikra, then it's Mutter. Right? And the Ran Shita that really that is not considered to be an option. Fascinating issue. Generally speaking, we avoid Hosafos on Yantif. The only Yantif that we have Hosafos is Simchas Torah. We have Hosafos on Simchas Torah, no? After all, you lay in the 5 aliyahs. Yeah, but you have extra aliyahs. No, I don't mean everybody's getting an aliyah, no? The regular Kriyas HaTorah is beyond the 5 aliyahs, no? You have a Chasan Torah, you have a Chasan Breishis. No, they're beyond. So it's unusual that typically speaking our minhag is not to have Hosafos on Yantif with the exception of Simchas Torah. So Eichik once pointed out, a beautiful biur, there's something unusual about Simchas Torah, no? And that is, what is the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah? The theme of the Kriyas HaTorah is not Yantif, no? Yantif is always Parshas Emor, Parshas Re'eh, no? What is the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah and Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah is a Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah. It's the Parshas HaShavuot. Someone asks you, what Parsha is it this week? You're going to say, V'zos HaBracha. No? Your Maver said, V'zos HaBracha. No? The Kriyas HaTorah is the Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah. So Soloveitchik pointed out, it's not just incidental. It means that a Kriyas HaTorah Parshas HaShavuah is Nitan LaHosafa, and a Kriyas HaTorah where the theme is Yantiv, there are no Hosafas. And that could explain another possibility as well. Let's assume, for example, it's a Yantiv Shechalios B'Shabbos. No? Yantiv falls out on Shabbos. So have you ever been to a minyan that they have Hosafas? On a Yantiv Shechalios B'Shabbos? No? We don't know. Even you go to a minyan, they have a lot of Hosafos. But if it's Yantiv Shechalios B'Shabbos, you don't have Hosafos, right? So Soloveitchik explained that's like the flip side. Because even though there is a Kedusha Siyam of Shabbos, but the Kriyas HaTorah is not Parshas HaShavua. On a Yantiv Shechalios B'Shabbos, the Kriyas HaTorah is a Yantiv Kriyas HaTorah, which is not Nitan LaHosafa. So therefore, that distinction, Shabbos Yantiv, we manifest itself, right, in terms of what type of Kriya HaTorah is it? The Yantif Kriya, the no Hosafos, even if it's Chal B'Shabbos, the Shabbos Kriya there is, even if it happens to be a Shabbos Kriya that's in the middle of the week, namely when it comes to Simchas Torah. Good? Yeah?
According to Rashi, Yom Tov, it's about to have Hosafos?
Right. Rashi Shittas, you can have Hosafos in Yom Tov. I'll tell you a secret. Oh, it tells us in Megillah of Chav Gimel. We really have Hosafos in Yom Tov. Don't tell anyone, no? That's called Maftir. That's a Tosas race. That's called Maftir. No? Because if there really would be an Isra Posafa, Maftir would not be an additional Aliyah. Maftir would be the last necessary Aliyah. No, Vaharaya Tanis Tzibur. No? We don't have three Aliyahs and then Maftir. The Shlishi is the Maftir. Right? That's because you can't have Hosafos. The Shlishi is the Maftir. If you were to really hold really, really Meikar Hadin that you could never have Hosafos whatsoever, the Chamishi and Yontif would be the Maftir. Because, no, but you know what? Right? It's a form of a Hosafa, above and beyond the Minyan HaKruim, which is five. So in such a case, we have a Maftir, and that's our Minag, that Maftir is above and beyond. Maftir is not part of the particular minyan. That's an interesting chiddush. And Tosos points out, this wasn't always the practice, but for us it's like obvious. What else? No? Tosos points out, I'll tell you a chiddush. We say kaddish before maftir. Like, of course, right? You have a kaddish before maftir. You know why? Tosos says the following. There are different types of kaddish. Let's discuss this in separate shiurim. Sometimes you have a kaddish that introduces. Right, that's called a Kaddish HaMaschil. The Kaddish introduces. Well, the Rambam seems to indicate that every Shmoneh Esrei has to be introduced by a Kaddish. And then sometimes you have a Kaddish which is a Kaddish HaMisayim, a Kaddish which concludes. Let's say the Kaddish Shalem after Shmoneh Esrei is a conclusion of Shmoneh Esrei. Tiskabel Tzalosa, no? It's part of the Bakasha, Kaddish Baruch Hu, you should accept our Tefillah. No? Let's assume LaHalacha, for example, you lost your minion. You lost your minion, right? During Chazar HaSashatz, for whatever reason, all of a sudden these guys bolted, no? Right? So you lost your minion. You can continue the Chazar HaSashatz. You can say the Kaddish Yiskabel. Because that's, right, an expansion of the Chazar HaSashatz, and you had your minion for the Chazar HaSashatz. That's a Kaddish HaMisayim, right? Very great Kiddush. Tosfos writes at the third different Kaddish, that's called a Kaddish HaMafsik. No? A Kaddish HaMafsik. Sometimes you have a Kaddish that transitions. It tells you there's a shift. There's a shift. No? So Tosfos writes that on Shabbos you have to have seven aliyahs. We have seven plus. On Yom Tov you have to have five aliyahs. We have five plus. That plus is really a Hosafa. It's Eino Ola Minyan. So the first aliyah is that's true as part of the Ikar Hadin. What we're doing now, right, is the reshus of a hosafa. No? So guess what Tosa says? You have to indicate that that's true. How do you indicate that in a certain sense we've come to an end and we're beginning something new? Tosa says, that's the minhag of reciting Kaddish. That's the minhag of reciting a Kaddish before or after. If this is a tainus tzibur, and that's not true, that the mafter is the shlishi, you're not going to do that. Right? But that's why we have a Kaddish at that particular point. Right? Tosfos has an unbelievable chiddush. Ready for this? You like this? No? It's came out Mefurish and Tosfos. Right? Megillah Daf Chof Gimel. No? Tosfos is bothered by the following. When it comes, let's say, to Shachris, you have to have a Kaddish before Shmoneh Esrei. So, where's that Kaddish? Right before Shmoneh Esrei? No. How do you have a Kaddish for Shmoneh Esrei? No? So the Kaddish is earlier, right? After Yishtabach. Because what do you mean? Yeah, you have Kriya Shema, Shmoneh Esrei, right? So the Kaddish is early. Mariv, that's not true, right? Mariv, we have a Kaddish right before Shmoneh Esrei. Like, almost like interrupting between Gul and Tfila, no? So Tosfos is bothered that why is it that you have a Kaddish in the middle in Mariv and you don't have that when it comes to Shachris? So Tosfos says, Mariv is different because Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. So since Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, okay, you know, we can have a Kaddish. I guess Poshub Shat, I guess we would normally assume it kind of means the following, that, you know, since Tfilas Arvis is only Rishus, okay, it's not so bad, you know. A guy talks in the middle of Shachar, so you're going to say, crazy? You know, a guy talks, right, in Marva, for Shmoneh Esrei, Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. Relatively speaking, you know, there's more wiggle room. Don't do it, but not as Chomer. So the impression that you get, Pashab Shav, the Tosas and Bracha, Stav Dalid, is that since Tefillah's Harvest is a Rishos, you know, we can bend the rules a little bit, right? So when you take a look at that Tosas and Megillah, whoa, that's not it. You got it? So that's really nice, no? I'm going to say that over there, Shabbos. No, that's very nice. Good? Okay, you got the punchline. Not yet. Tosas was Mechadish. You have to have a Kaddish HaMapsik. You have to have a Kaddish HaMapsik. You laying the seven aliyahs, you're about to have Maftir. But you don't need a Maftir. Maftir is Eino Ole. When you go from a Chove to a Rishus, you have to have a Kaddish. So in Shachris, Kriya Shema Zachova. Shachris, Shmonesre Zachova. Yeah, that has to be seamless. But in Mariv, not just wiggle room, we can kind of be makel, no. No. Kriya Shema Zachova. It's a mitzvah daraisa. In the Shmonesre, you're about to daven is only a Rishus. You can't go seamlessly from a Chova to Rishus. You have to have some barrier to say, recognize that there's a shift. Just like you have a Kaddish before or Maftir. That's why you must have a Kaddish. Not that it's okay to talk. You must have a Kaddish before Tefillas Arvis to Shmon Esrei, because you are going from a Chova, a Din D'Oraisa of Kriyashma, right, to Tefillas Arvis to Shmon Esrei, which is only a Rishus. Oh, that's a very different read, no? It's not just simply what people think, you know, Marvis or Rishus, oh, go talk, you know? No, not that. No, that's a demonstration of a kind of shamafsik, I think is a beautiful finish of Tosis. Yeah?
What about when we daven Marvis before Shkia? So there's no Chiv D'Oraisa of Krishma?
Right, but even so, it is a machlokas Rishonim, right? In terms of when one davens early, is one fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyashma? Is one not? That's the machlokas Rabbi Natan in the Shah Rishonim. Right, whether one could possibly do so, but nonetheless, the tefillah and the seder ha-tefillah was nikva, right, based on the typical ideal structure, right? Maybe not based on the shas ha-tzorech that one is doing so in an earlier time. Okay. So, how did we kind of get into this? That hosafos on Shabbos, right? But the Mishnah says there's an exception, the tochacha. You can have Osafos on Shabbos. You can have Osafos on Shabbos, but not during the Tochacha. That's Ein Mafsikin B'Kolos. Ein Mafsikin B'Kolos. Why? What's wrong with having a Hosaf in the middle of the Tochacha? What's wrong with that? So the Gemara Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph has two days. One day the Gemara has, the first day, is that the Gemara quotes a Pasuk. This is the view of Rav Chiya Bar Gamda Amar Rav Asi. What's wrong with having Osafos? Rav Asi says, what do you mean? Quotes a pasuk, Musar Hashem b'ni altimas. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you Musar. You know, really take this seriously. No, take this seriously. Someone's giving you Musar and you say, oh, wait a second, my cell phone is ringing. No, you're interrupting. You know, we'll say, listen, this, attention. No, this is pretty important. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you the Tochacha, and all of a sudden you're interrupting, and you're Megan Aliyah, and the Mishaberech, and an appeal for the Shul. This is really serious. No, so don't interrupt. That's what Rabasi says. Don't interrupt in the middle of the Musa that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Okay, that's Rabasi. Reish Lakish says the following: Ein Omim Bracha Al Peronos. Don't make a bracha on a davara. Don't make a bracha on a davara. You're going to end an aliyah now, and all of a sudden you're going to start an aliyah with a series of brachos. Don't make a bracha on a davara. Look, if Chazal were misakin a bracha of Dayan Emes, yes, k'shem shem bracha on a tov, bracha on a davara, that's true. But when you have the leeway, you can recite a bracha on a davar tov, or a bracha on a davara. Don't recite a bracha on a davara. Now, if you're a gabbai in a minyan, and your minyan has hosafos, so you have to know all the halachas of when you can have a hosafa. So in addition to all those details, that how many psukim are left of the parsha, how many psukim are we into the parsha, you also have to consider this. You cannot recite a bracha on a davara. No? So don't end on a davara. So you kind of have to know what the Chumash is talking about. No? In order to say, let's end the aliyah here. And aliyah, a bad tiding, all of a sudden we're making a bracha. That you can't do. Mi'ikr hadin. This comes all from the Tochacha. All from the Tochacha. Good? So the Taz is Kasha. The Taz is found twice in Or HaChaim. Kuf Lamed Tes, and then the Taz later, Tav Chav Ches. Those are the two places the Taz discusses this kashya. What in the world is Rish Lakish talking about? When Rish Lakish says that the reason the Mishnah tells us Ein Mafsikim B'Kolos is because of this whole issue of a brach and a davara, you know, if this was Rish Lakish explaining the minig in his shul, that would be okay. But Rish Lakish is explaining a Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, they didn't have this practice. The Kohen would recite the first bracha. The Achron recited the last bracha. So all of the mid-aliyahs, there was no bracha. There was no bracha. So if you would call up a bunch of other people, no bracha was recited. So according to Vasi, I understand. Don't even call these people up because you're interrupting in the middle of the Musar. But according to Rish Lakish, how can you ascribe this limitation to Ein Omrim Bracha Ala Peronos? There is no bracha at all. That's an important kasha, right? There is no bracha at all. That's the Taz's kasha. Yeah.
Even if there was a bracha, the bracha I'm making is not on the davara. The bracha is on the Torah.
Right. Right. But even so, right? That's true. It's not like we're going ahead and making a bracha acknowledging. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, why should, if we have the leeway, why should we say a baruch hu asa shaman baruch? Why should we use the davara as a basis of shevach? So if we can use the davar tov as a basis of shevach, we're mekabel. But if you're mishevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why shouldn't we associate, right, that shevach with a davar tov? So that's the chiddush thing. Yeah.
Don't you also have to thank Hashem for the ra?
That's true. Like a shem shem avarachim, there's a bracha of dynamis. When necessary, we acknowledge that is true. The Ramban writes that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is latov. But from our perception, right, why should one maybe making that bracha at that time, right, when one can go ahead and make the bracha on someone else? Good. A person, Rachman Litzlan, right, hears that someone was nifta. He makes a bracha. He makes the tova meitiv bracha. He'll make a bracha of dynamis. In other words, we acknowledge a davar ra when Lacha says you have to do so. But if one could make the bracha on the davar tov, we should always seek out, as the first tier, to go ahead and do so. So that's the Taz's kasha. What in the world are we talking about? Brachos. There are no brachos whatsoever. There are no brachos. So the Taz and Kuf Lamites, right? So, okay, a little bit of alamdus, paparachidish. That it's nechshav ki'ilu birech. Nechshav ki'ilu birech. Now, what exactly does that mean? That, look, you know, it's not just that the Kohen recites a bracha and the Achron recites a bracha. Every ol is recited, is obligated to recite a bracha. The bracha relates to every ol, all of us. And therefore, it's a manifestation of the bracha to call up a new Ola. You'll call up a new Ola and we'll say to the Ola, aren't you going to make a bracha on this Aliyah? His answer is not going to be, this Aliyah doesn't warrant a bracha. His answer is going to be that the bracha that was recited earlier extends. Right? The bracha on the beginning of Halal, end of Halal, it's not just on the first line of Halal, last line of Halal, it embraces. So therefore, that's ki'ilu birech. It's as though that, right, a bracha is being chal on the new aliyah. That's what the Taz thinks Rish Lakish means. If you look at the Taz later in Tav Chav Ches, the Taz writes even more than that. You know? Kiddush. You know? All of us are obligated to make Kiddush. Okay, so you know what? There are a lot of us here. So one option is one person will make Kiddush for everyone. Another option is everybody can make Kiddush themselves. No? The Taz writes a Kiddush that even in the time of the Mishnah, a person could make the bracha himself and not be somech on the poseach, or not be somech on the chosim. You have a right to. You could be yotzei. You don't have to be yotzei. Or the Taz points out the following. Let's say whatever, conceivable, a person comes late to davening. No, happens. No. a person comes late. He missed the kohen. He missed the kohen. And all of a sudden, he's called up for shlishi. No? Well, of course he's going to have to make a bracha. But he was yotze with the poseach. He wasn't even there for the poseach. No? Let's say he didn't have in mind to be yotze for the poseach. So you're a sneaky gabbai, no? So your chaver comes late, you want to teach him a lesson? You call him up for shlishi. No? And all of a sudden, now he has to make a whole bracha. And he has to announce to the whole world that he just walked in. No? And he missed the kohen. No? So, but he'd have to make a bracha, the Tazrites. So you see that even in earlier times, this was absolutely possible. So therefore, don't have osafos, because even then, achalos habracha, the tazim kuf lamates, or the real possibility of reciting a bracha as well. Many achronim suggest, that's what I mentioned very quickly in the sicha, that this is the Eliyahu Rabba, there in Tavchav Ches, and Rabbi Kiveger writes this on that Mishnah, right? Rabbi Kiveger on the Mishnayis, tells us Rabbi Kiveger and the regular Yochanan Boaz Mishnayis, in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav, and Maseches Megillah, Rabbi Kiveger writes this. And if you look in the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah, we have those very small Masechtos, no? So look in Maseches Ofrim. So there, in Perek Yud Beis, right? In Brisa Gimel, on the bottom there's a pirush called Nachlas Yaakov. The Nachlas Yaakov writes this. Good. That, wait a second, this Kriya Satara is a unique Kriya Satara. This was a separate Takanas Ezra. And since it's a separate, unique Takanas Ezra, this Kriya Satara requires its own brachos. Let's assume, for example, it's Parsha Zohar. So, the Kohen makes his first aliyah, the Shvi makes his last bracha, good. And now you take out a separate Sefer Torah, Parsha Zohar. Isn't he going to make separate brachos? What are you going to say? Rely on? This is a separate Kriya Satorah entirely. If the reason you have one bracha in the beginning, one bracha in the end, is because this is a seamless Kriya Satorah, no, there's something unique about the Tochacha. Unique about the Tochacha. And part of that uniqueness, based on Yerushalmi, is that it requires its own brachos. It requires its own brachos. You know, so everything goes unnoticed. Now, Chazal arranged the parshios so beautifully, we don't even know that we're laying a special Kriya Satorah the Shabbos, no? And we always recite brachos in every aliyah, so it doesn't look like there's anything special. But in earlier times, it was so obvious, no? Because they were reciting separate brachos. All of a sudden, the Levi didn't recite a bracha. And the one who gets the tocha does recite a bracha. So you're saying, what's happening here? Why are we all saying a bracha here? The answer is, this is a separate Takanas Ezra, a separate Kriya Satara. Wow, interesting chiddush. The Sfas Emes, there in Megillah and Daflam and Aleph, quotes this teretz. And he writes that he's dissatisfied with this teretz. Because even if that's true, that in order to demonstrate that this is a special Kriya Satorah, you would have separate brachos. But, so good. Right before the Tochi, you have a separate bracha. And after the Tochi, you're going to have a separate bracha to demonstrate that this is unusual. But why aim up seeking because? Let's say for whatever reason, you'd interrupt in the middle of the Tochacha. Is it so obvious that even the middle of the Tochi requires a separate bracha? Like I understand all this lambdas, you're going to need a separate bracha. So good. So you're going to have a separate bracha before we begin the tochacha, and a separate bracha after we end the tochacha. But is it so obvious that if we divide the tochacha into three parts, we're going to have three sets of brachas? That's the ha'ara of the Sfas Emes in Megillat Lamed Aleph. But apparently, that is true, according to these achronim, based on the Yerushalmi. Just like, for example, that Knesset Yisrael answered Amen, a bracha, on every one of the brachos and every one of the klalos, if at any point in time there will be a hefsek, even in the middle of the tochacha, that would be mechayiv, its own bracha. And therefore, Eliyahu Rabba, Rabbi Kiveger, Nachlas Yaakov all assume that that's why ein mafsikin b'klalos. That's why ein mafsikin b'klalos. Wow, an important chiddush. What other terutzim could you give to answer this kasha of the Taz? So there is another teretz of the Chassam Sofer, This is found in Or HaChaim Siman Samach Vav. He writes an interesting chiddush. In earlier times, only the Poseach recited the bracha, the Chosim recited the bracha. What did all the others do with God and Aliyah? So Poshep Shat, they didn't sing the bracha at all. Some Sefer writes a chiddush. They still would recite Baruch. They still would recite Baruch. The bracha of Asher Bachar Banu, the bracha of Asher Nosan Lanu, yeah, that's a bracha on the Kriya Sator itself. But Baruch is Hashem Hamvarach, like when we begin Mariv, that's just an opportunity of calling the Tzibur together for Shevach. So the Chassam Sofer suggests a Chiddush, if it's true, that's a good teretz, that even in the time of the Mishnah, the intermediate Olim would recite Baruch. And if you would call a guy up in the middle of the Tochacha, he wouldn't have to say Asher Bachar Banu, he wouldn't say Asher Nasan Lanu, but Baruch Hu, he would recite. And that's Rish Lakish's problem. In Mavsikim Bekolos. Well, okay. If that's true, that's awesome. Huh? Question whether that's the case. Pashub Shat, in the Rishonim, it would appear that the mid-Aliyahs didn't say any Baruch at all. But if they would say the Baruch, Baruch Hu, okay. Maybe that's true. There's another interesting teretz. This is found in the Sefer Levi Aschein, where he writes the following. Wait a second. Realize in the Mishnah, things were really different. In the time of the Mishnah, the minhag in Marava was they wouldn't lain a whole parsha. They wouldn't lain a whole parsha. They would only lain a third of the parsha. No, Kriya Satora was a triennial cycle. No? It took 3 years to finish. So realize that was a prevalent minhag in the time of the Mishnah. So everything was different. Everything was different. So that's simply what the Mishnah means. Let's say you're in the time of the Mishnah. And every parsha takes 3 weeks. Good? So let's assume, for example, you're in Parshas Bechol Kosai. So this Shabbos, we're going to lay in the third of Bechol Kosai, and next Shabbos, the second third, and the third Shabbos, the third third, right? Oh, so that's what the Mishnah says. Very different, no? When you are deciding like where you're going to end this Shabbos and when you're going to pick up next Shabbos, make sure that, in Mafsikim Bechol, don't stop in the middle of the Telchacha, because Ya'achron is going to have to recite a bracha now. The Achron will be recite. Well, this isn't the Achron, this is the middle of the Parsha. Yeah, for you and I, it's the middle of the Parsha. But it's not the middle of the Parsha if you're working with a triennial cycle. No? So therefore, in Mafsikin, in Rasidin Bakalos. Well, another teretz, no? And the Tosis Yantif just writes maybe a simple teretz. A simple teretz. The Tosis Yantif. And this Mishnah writes that Reish Lakish was referring to his time. His time? No? Reish Lakish says, for us, the Mishnah is especially meaningful because in Mavarchan ala Paranus. Reish Lakish agrees with Rav Asi that the Iker Hatam of the Mishnah is Musar Hashem B'nei Altimos. Reish Lakish just adds that for us, there is also, but in Achinami, in the time of the Mishnah, not necessarily. Okay. So that's the list of shitas, right? To answer this kasha of Imav Sikim Lakalas, but each one is very, very revealing. Yep.
If it's a triennial cycle, then what are you doing with the
Takar Zedit? Right, it's a good question. So I'll tell you a chiddush. Parsha Zachar. Right? That's what Avud Ram seems to indicate. That they used to take out a separate Sefer Torah lane. It was obvious to them, no? They weren't holding by these parshios. And guess what? Shuas was coming, Rosh Hashanah was coming. They would take out a separate Sefer Torah and they would lay.
Make a bracha?
Yiposhub Shat, they would be making a bracha at that particular time, in which case, if that's what they were doing, oh, so then also in Mafsikin with Klolos because of the bracha. Just like we have a bracha on Parsha Sefer. No? In the time of the Mishnah, they would lay on a different Sefer Torah completely differently. Yiposhub Shat, they used to recite different brachos. No? Maybe that was true also. right? That if they were working with a triennial cycle, and they were not in Sefer Vayikra, they weren't in Sefer Dvarim, what, they ignored the Takana Zezra? No, they didn't ignore the Takana Zezra. They would take out a separate Sefer Torah, and they would lay in the Tochacha. That was obvious to everyone. This was a special Kriya Sator. No? But for us, it's more subtle. At Maishal, we get up and we announce. Every, you have to have in mind the Takana Zezra. We do it in Bukhukos and in Kisam. Right? It's worthy of announcement. No, it's worthy of a Takana. It's worthy of... Everything's announced. No? You go to the yeshiva. They announce everything. No, the Chom Tafu. Announce the Takana Zezra also. No? Everything. No? Everything should be announced. No? So, a special Takana Zezra. Special Takana Zezra. Good? That Gemara Megillah and Lamed Aleph, that tells us that the Tocha is mentioned twice in Chumash, so that's where the Gemara makes the distinction between the Brachos and Klalos in Vayikra as opposed to Sefer Dvarim. That the Klalos that are in Torah Skon Vayikra, Halalu Beloshon Rabim. And yet the Klalos in Parshas Kisavo, that is v'halalo b'lashon yachid. B'lashon yachid. So this is, reflects a significant, significant difference. B'lashon rabim and lashon yachid. If you want the makoros where this is spelled out, so there are many different svarim that discuss, right, the ha'aros and the chidushim of the Gaon. So, Aderes Eliyahu. So take a look at the Aderes Eliyahu in Parshas Nitzavim. Right, that's in Perachov Tes, Pasuk Yuches. And there's another sefer of the Chedushim of the Gaon, which is called Divrei Eliyahu. Divrei Eliyahu. So here, just take a look at the very end of the sefer, Divrei Eliyahu. That's where the Gaon writes, this Yesod, always pay special attention to the Yachid Rabbim issues. Because Rabbim means to the many, to the many. Everyone is obligated to. Everyone is obligated to. Good. That's the sugyan sukkah daf mem aleph ulekach tem lochem lekicha biyad kol echad biyachad. Everyone has to take the dalit minim. Tosus is mufurish. That's because ulekach tem is bloshen rabim. If the pasuk would say ulekach ta, that would mean Knesset Yisrael as a whole. As a whole. For example, I could have argued that Lulav and Esrog is part of Avodas HaMikdash. No? It is true that Lulav and Esrog has a whole new identity in Mikdash, no? Lulav and Esrog is in Mikdash all 7 days. I could have thought that Lulav and Esrog is part of the Avodah. And that wouldn't be Ulakach Tamachem. That would be that Klal Yisrael as a whole has to see to it that in the Mikdash, Lulav. But not that each one of us has to do so. So that's what Tosos writes. Therefore, ulakachtem. Everyone is obligated to go ahead and to do so. Because ulakachtem. Whenever the Torah tells us that Lashon Rabbim, that's critical. There's Ramban, this is a theme of a separate shir, where the Ramban just makes the ha'ara. This is found in Parshas Truma. Right? In Shmos Perachaf Hei Posuk Yud, the Ramban makes this stunning ha'ara, that when it comes to all the clay, Hamikdash and Mishkan, the Torah says Va'asisa. But when it comes to Aron, the Pasuk says Va'asu. The Ramban writes the same Lamdas. Wow. It's like pretty incredible. Now that when it comes to all the other Kalim, Klal Yisrael as a whole has to see to it that you have a menorah and you have a Mizbeach and you have a Shulchan, but not each and every one of us is obligated to do that. And the Ramban writes his beautiful lamdas, but take a look practically what that means. Va'asu is l'chol echad v'echad. Everyone is obligated to do so. Everyone had to participate in Asiyas Aron. And then the Ramban discusses, how did that work? How did everyone participate in Asiyas Aron? But the Ramban writes, of course that's true. Because otherwise that the pasuk just say Asiyas Aron. Va'asu was like Lulav and Esrog. Usfiras Omer. Usfartem lachem. That's the Gemara Menachos Samech Hei. Everyone has to count. Sfir l'chol echad v'echad. No? And when it comes to, for example, counting the years of the Yovel, there the Torah tells us in Parshas Vahar, v'safarta l'cha. L'cha means you and I don't have to do this. It means the unit collectively has to do so. So that's what Tosafot says, that the representative of Klal Yisrael, as a single entity, as a single body, has to count the years of the Ovah. So Tosafot says that means that Tosafot is found in Ksuvos Ayin Beis and in Menachos Samachay. Tosafot, that means the Sanhedrin convenes every year to count the year of the Ovah. This is the second year of the Ovah, this is the third year of the Ovah, this is the fourth year of the Ovah. Tosafot writes, they count with a bracha. So I see them doing this. I say, do I have to do this? The answer is, no. The Pasuk says, V'safarta lecha. You don't have to do that. U'sfartem lachem, that you have to do. That's a critically important difference. So the Gaon points out the same thing is true when it comes to the Tochacha. The Tochacha speaks about the sense of, right, the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the observance of the mitzvah Hashem. All of us are included in the Krisas bris. I'll ask you a question. Betoras yachid betoras tzibur. Do we mean that Klal Yisrael is obligated individually, each one of us? Or does it mean as a collective whole we are obligated in? And guess what? The answer is both. Both are true. Both are true. The Tochacha of Loshon Rabbim tells us that each one of us is obligated. Just like each one of us has to count the years of the days of the Omer. Each one of us has to be notal dalet minim. And here, all of a sudden, the Torah tells us we are bound to the words of the Tochacha as a yachid, as chativachas. So what exactly does that mean? You really mean to say that, you know what the chiddush of Kisavo is? I don't have to do this, right? I don't have to count the years of the Ovil. I don't have to build the Mizbeach. I don't have to listen to the mitzvah Hashem, right? Because Loshen Yachid. Yeah, is that true? So, yeah, all these makaros, no? Like, you know enough? It's like almost like the Safis, no? You can convince someone of anything, right? You just have to have a bekias, no? So you'll quote 10 shittas that are riot to this direction, no? So you don't know the 100 others that are against this, no? So the Gaon comments, that's the Gaon Aderes Eliyahu, Parshas Nitzavim. All of this is Pshuto Shamikra. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says, V'haya v'shamu es divrei ha'olah hazos. Right? When you hear this Tochacha, and all of a sudden you hear this Tochacha is B'lashon Yachid, you know what a person may tragically say? Shalom yali kishiris v'yelich. That's what the Pasuk says. A person's going to hear this Tochacha, and he's going to say, no problem. What do you mean, no problem? I'm going to do whatever I want. What do you mean you're going to do whatever you want? How can you do that? No? It's the first day of orientation here. Rules and rules and rules and rules, no? And all of a sudden you say, I can do whatever I want. You don't realize that till you've been here for a month, no? But the first day, how can you? You hear all these things, like you take it seriously, no? Like, ooh. Like, so you hear all the Tochacha, no? And then all of a sudden you say, no problem. What do you mean, no problem? That's exactly what the Gaon says is the deal. No, Lashon Yachid, Lashon Yachid. Realize, Yachshin Yachid, up until now, Sefer Dvarim meant as long as Klal Yisrael as a whole. But here, the Pasuk says it means something else. That's exactly what Torah spells out. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Don't think that you can get out of this. Here, the Torah says the reason Lashon Yachid is used is because Lo Itchem Levadchem. Because this is not just for you guys. No? But rather, even those who are Einenu, Imanu, Omeid Hayom, they're also bound. Rashi writes, L'rabos, Doros, Havoy Machrav. This is going to bound everybody in the future, even a person who's not standing here. Well, how does that work? You know what the answer is? Because this is bounding on all of Klal Yisrael as a whole, and whoever is and will ever be Palter of Klal Yisrael, they are obligated in the words of this Tochacha. That's why here the Loshon Yachid is right, embracing Lo Itchem Levadchem. That's why it's used. The Gaon points out, he thinks that's Pashup Shan the Pasuk. That's Pashup Shan the Pasuk. Wow. So that's pretty remarkable, no? That's why the Loshon Yachid is used. And with this in mind, you now understand that when the Gemara points to the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, that there's a concept of Arvos. Arvos means, no, the Ritva writes in Rosh Hashanah Chates, and the Ritva writes in Hilchos Brachos Perakei, Arvos means all of Klal Yisrael is viewed as Guf Echad. Guf Echad. All of Klal Yisrael is viewed as a single entity, a single entity. No, mamish guf echad. Good. A person has a left hand, and a person has a right hand. No, all of Klal Yisrael are the left hands, the fingers, right? Every individual, but it's all part of the same guf. No, all part of that same guf. That's what the Yerushalmi writes about lo sikom lo sitor. No? That's what the Yerushalmi writes. You know, you're banging in a nail, and all of a sudden your left hand hits your right, and your thumb swells out. So the right hand takes the thumb and clobbers the left. And that's the Yerushalmi, no? Hayitachin. It's all guf echad, no? It's all guf echad. You're going to suffer more. So the Yerushalmi writes, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Av lo sikom lo sitor. No? That's what the Yerushalmi writes. That's why lo sikom lo sitor is placed together with v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. That the v'yahavta l'recha kamocha means that if you view someone else as an extension of yourself, then obviously you're not going to seek nechama because you're being nokim against whom? No. The left hand seeking nechama against the right hand. So that's the juxtaposition Yerushalmi writes. No? Interesting chiddush. So that's why when the Gemara points to Arvos, Sanhedrin Mem Gimel, right, and Soto Lamed Zayin, you know what the source of Arvos is? The Gemara says, this tochacha. There's a tocha b'lashin yachid, and the pasuk spells out, now hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, but haniglos lano v'neinu, you're going to be held responsible for what he does. Why? Because of Lashon Yachid. This is the source of Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zeh Bazeh. So that's a pretty remarkable concept, no? The Arvos. And here I would just add the following, like Chiddush, that, you know the dots on that Pasuk of Nistaros? No? That's the Gemara Sanhedrin. Why are there like notations on Nistaros? Because the Gemara says, you know what? That Arvos only fully kicked in when we entered Eretz Yisrael. In other words, part of this notion that we are all a single being because we are united as one, that the Gemara writes was true when we entered Eretz Yisrael. In other words, that Eretz Yisrael is the Ma'ached. No? That's what links all of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, Arvos underwent a remarkable change when we were in the Midbar as opposed to entering Eretz Yisrael. In the Midbar, we were Yechidim. Now, when we entered Eretz Yisrael linked all of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, that's why this Tochacha, on the threshold of entry into Eretz Yisrael, is B'lashon Yachid. And that's why the Gemara derives Arvos from this Tochacha, and that's why Gemara Meforeshes, and here in Daf Mem Gimel, Arvos did not fully kick in, Ad She'avru B'nei Yisrael Sayarden. Yeah, because that's necessary. Right, it's not just a geographic location. Eretz Yisrael unites all of Knesset Yisrael. Yir shechuv le'yachdav. It's mechaber, and therefore, the arvus is dependent on. It's an interesting chiddush. The Bahag, in his Sefer HaMitzvos. This is also true of Ibsad, you know. Count the brachos and klalos as one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Interesting. That's one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Not so simple exactly. What are they referring to? The Rambam objects to this. The Rambam, in Shoresh Gimel of Sefer HaMitzvahs, writes that, look, in order to count something in Sefer HaMitzvos, it has to be something which is noheges ledoros, right? A mitzvah means it's enduring. You don't count the hora shah as one of Tariq mitzvos. When we left Mitzrayim, There are a lot of things we're told to do, but they're not one of the mitzvos HaTorah, because Taryag mitzvos is enduring, it's lasting. Not Harosha, that's the Kash Lerama. The Brachos and Klalos, yeah, that was like a one-shot deal. How in the world do you count them as part of Taryag mitzvos? So if you look in the Ramban there in Shoresh Gimel, the Ramban writes, a beautiful biur. Ramban writes, when we speak about endurance, you want to use our terminology? No. You have to distinguish between a ma'isa mitzvah and a kiyuma mitzvah. No? Pesach Mitzrayim, putting the dam in the mezuzos and mashkov, that was a ma'isa mitzvah that was only done then, and the kiyum ha-mitzvah was only then, no? The kiyum ha-mitzvah was only then. The Ramban writes, that's not true, the brachos and klalos. It is true, the Ramban writes, Einan nasos ela pamachas. That only happened then. But the Ramban writes, Inyanam kayem lanu ledoros. But the consequence, the effect, to be bound in the krisas bris, that's a hora shah. That's what the Ramban writes. Ooh. Right? The impact of the brachos and klalos is enduring, even though the act was only pamachas. That, the Ramban writes, is not called a horasha. Yeah. Interesting lumdus, no? A kiyum, which is nimshach ledoros, even though my mitzvah is limited. No? If you look in the Sefer Mitzvahs of Rav Sadia Gaon, right, in Parsha Nun Zayin, so here, Rav Yerucham Fischer Perlar, the Sefer Mitzvah Sadia Gaon is like three, right, massive volumes, right? But, Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a little poem, and that's pretty incredible, no? Wrote a little poem. And Rav Yerucham Fischer Perlar took this little poem and wrote a pirush on this poem, right? And the poem is like, you know, it's three massive, massive volumes, tiny print, massive volumes, no? And people fondly, jokingly refer to this as the Sefer Mitzvahs of Yerucham Fischer Perlar. Now, like, did Rav Sadia Gaon really mean all this? Now, like, you know, there'll be 100 pages of diukim in, you know, in the one word that Rav Sadia Gaon wrote. Now, he wrote a poem that is a synopsis of Taryag Mitzvahs. But it's interesting. Right? So Rav Fischer Perlar writes, you know why these Gaonim, Rav Sadia Gaon, count brachos and klalos as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs? Because it's the mitzvah of Arvos, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zedazim. Arvos is a mitzvah. Not just simply like the Ramban as a kiyum ledoros. Mamish, it's a mitzvah ledoros. A mitzvah ledoros. The mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zedazim. There's a mitzvah of Arvos Daraisa, and I would just add a separate chiddush. This will require probably a separate shir. That Arvos is a mitzvah. Okay, got it. But a chiddush. Arvos is a separate mitzvah. A separate mitzvah. Because here I think one could argue in one of two very, very different ways, right? Those of you who have been in the shir, Mitzvah Shem will be in the shir, now we're going to. Very often, the chakira of whether something is a din or a mitzvah klali, or whether it's a din or a mitzvah prati. Is this an independent mitzvah, or is it part of each and every mitzvah? When the Torah tells us, hidra mitzvah, zekev aveyu, does that mean part of the mitzvah of lulav and shofar and tzitzis and tefillin? Is that mitzvah demands that it be done both in Amahudar? Or do we say, no, aside from the mitzvah of lulav, sukkah, shofar, tefillin, there's a separate mitzvah of zakei v'meyu. If a person were to be deficient in the hidur, is there someone lacking in the mitzvah of sukkah, in the mitzvah of lulav, in the mitzvah of tefillin? Or would I argue, you know what, that mitzvah is fully fulfilled, but he failed to fulfill another mitzvah, no? That lumdus applies to many, many, many cases. Many cases. There's a beautiful comment of Meshech Chachma. You know, maybe, the Menachas Chinuch writes this, that the Rambam doesn't count tshuva as a mitzvah. Maybe, because the Rambam does count vidui as a mitzvah. But the Menachas Chinuch is bothered. Why the Rambam doesn't count tshuva as a mitzvah? So Rameir Simcha writes in Meshech Chachma, a beautiful biur, tshuva is not a separate mitzvah. They're taryag mitzvahs of tshuva. No? They're taryag mitzvahs. You have to do this, you can't do this. Yeah, so you know what? If you're deficient, you blew it. No, you did this or you didn't do that. So the mitzvah demands that that has to be addressed. The mitzvah demands tshuva. That is a separate mitzvah of tshuva. No? A person failed to fulfill a mitzvah, the all of that mitzvah demands that. And therefore, in Sefer HaMitzvos, I'm not going to count tshuva as something which is independent, but rather was an inherent part of the fabric of each and every mitzvah. It's an interesting issue. One could argue the same thing is true, let's have to discuss in a subsequent shiur, of the concept of arvos. How does arvos function? Is arvos a separate mitzvah? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh? Or maybe I can argue as fellow, arvos is not a separate mitzvah. No, it's a din klali. What does that mean? You're obligated in this mitzvah. You're obligated in Shabbos. You're obligated in Shofar. You're obligated in Kiddush. Part of your obligation in that mitzvah is to see to it that not just you selfishly perform the mitzvah, but you have to see to it that others will fulfill the mitzvah as well. And you know what? To use the language of the Ritva, you didn't satisfy your obligation of Kiddush if he did not make Kiddush. And that's why even though Kol Mishenu Mechuya Badavar Eino Motzi Yisra B'dei Chavasa, in order for me to be Motzi, you have to be Mechuya Badavar Yatsa Motzi. Even though I made Kiddush, I can make Kiddush for you. Why? Because the Ritva writes, I am a dayan Mechuya B'Kiddush. I didn't fulfill my mitzvah of Kiddush yet. Because my chiyuv of Kiddush demands that I have to do more than just make Kiddush myself. Arvos is not to be viewed independently, but as an essential component of each and every mitzvah, because all yourselves are considered to be guf echad. So maybe my right hand fulfilled the mitzvah, but my left hand didn't, and therefore it still has to be done. Well, interesting chiddush. So I will tell you there's a twofold chiddush of the Shita and Rav Sadia Gaon. Number one, there's a mitzvah of arvos, but number two, there's an independent mitzvah of arvos. Because I could have argued, of course there's a mitzvah of arvos, but I'm not going to include this in my Sefer HaMitzvos, because I view arvos as an extension of each and every mitzvah. If you make kiddush, and there's another guy next to you, and you don't see to it that he fulfills the mitzvah of Kiddush, you don't make that effort, you didn't fully fulfill your mitzvah. And there's a deficiency in the mitzvah of Kiddush, not just a deficiency in a mitzvah of arvos. That's a fascinating chakira, and I would suggest that there are many nafkaminas. I once wrote three Rabbi Kvager's Lashitase, right, to demonstrate Rabbi Kvager's Shita that arvos is part of every mitzvah. It is not an independent mitzvah. Is it possible, for example, that I can be exempt from a mitzvah, but be chayiv in the arvos of that mitzvah? Interesting, no? Interesting. A woman has a lulav and esrog. She has the only lulav and esrog in the whole community, no? And we go over to her and say, can you give us your lulav and esrog so we can be otzei? And you know what her answer is? I'm not chayiv in the lulav and esrog. It's a mitzvah seishas man grama. And if I'm exempt from Lulav and Esrog, how can you obligate me in the arvos of the Lulav and Esrog, no? Or maybe we turn to the woman and say, I'm not talking about you taking Lulav and Esrog. I need Lulav and Esrog, and I'm obligated in Lulav and Esrog. Can a woman who is exempt from the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog be chayiv in the arvos of Lulav and Esrog, no? That's a din in Rabbi Kvager. No? That's a din in Rabbi Kvager. No? We discussed last year, Night Leaf Neiver. To what extent Lifnei Iver takes on the characteristics of the Avera that you're trying to provoke? Is Lifnei Iver of Chilul Shabbos more chomer Lifnei Iver of Nevela? Right? You provoke him terribly, Machal Shabbos. You provoked him to speak Lashon Hara. Right? Should I argue that the Avera of Shabbos is worse because that's a Chiyuv Skila? Or do I say, no, they're different examples of a Michshal, but in both cases you violated the separate Isser Lifnei Iver, L'Sitei Michshal. No? So, right, we'll have to just finish up that last point.